Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Leopard going on here.
Well, you know,
I already lost my voice doing the Baptist preacher thing earlier, though, so I don't know if I can
be a man.
No, I still had to try
it. We both do.
Still had to try it. Oh my goodness gracious, great ball of fire. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew McKay. Andrew waking up with a little bit of a sore throat this morning, so well, actually, no throat, no voice. So he'll be back. Actually, he's not going to be back next week either. He's on vacation next week.
I know.
So
convenient.
Very convenient.
Love you, Andrew.
Get off on a Friday, and then you're off all next week. I see how it is. Co-housing. I wanted to bring this up last hour. I didn't get a chance to. This is something that's becoming more and more popular. I want to bring this up because as we talk about the economy a lot and inflation and how expensive things are getting and how expensive it is to live in places and stuff, for some people, it seems like it's no big deal. They're just like, oh, I'll just buy this house for $350,000 cash. Here you go. Right. You know what? Here's an extra $20,000 just to have. You know, for some people, they just, it's like nothing.
Wish I had that.
But for many, many Americans, they're starting to struggle. And there's a new thing that's happening, co-housing. Not cohabitation. Cohabitation is, you know, we're not going to get married, but we're going to go ahead and live together. But then there's co-housing, which
co-housing?
Is.
Co-housing?
Yeah. So you're going to move into a house with another family.
Oh.
So you got you and your kids, and you're going to move into a house with somebody else and their kids. Now, and I didn't explain this earlier when I was talking about co-housing, but co-housing is mostly like single women with their kids.
Okay.
Moving in with another single woman with their kids and sharing responsibilities that way. But it's not only that. In fact, I know two families that I know that live like it's husband, wife, and kids, husband, wife, and kids. Husband, wife, and kids have the upstairs, husband, wife, and kids. The other husband, wife, and kids have the downstairs, and they kind of share the kitchen area. Actually, I know one. They live out west. They have a basement, and they went ahead and made another kitchen in the basement.
Really?
So one has the basement, and it has a separate access, and the other one has – so it's almost like an apartment, right?
Yeah.
But – that's it. They share the house. It's still like one house payment, and they just kind of like split the mortgage or whatever and split the utilities and blah, blah, blah. And they went ahead and added a second kitchen. That way they have their own kitchen. The other one has their own kitchen. But there's no like there's no like separator wall or anything. Like it's still just, you know, you can come upstairs and go downstairs freely or whatever, and they just – and they love it. Like they keep telling me they both have young kids, and their young kids are like all great friends with each other, and they spend like most nights playing board games, you know, like the adults do.
Right.
Like they play board games together and they watch TV shows together and stuff like this. But co-housing for single women with kids is becoming a thing because they're overwhelmed trying to handle their kids by themselves, and they're having to work still now, you know, and so it helps having somebody else to be able to help with some of those responsibilities. But it also helps with loneliness.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, helps with loneliness. And that's actually been under the thing. There's these economic, like, what's the reason to co-house? And there's economic reasons and things like this. But the number one reason is actually loneliness. Is that people say, well, it's really about being alone. I could probably figure out a way to have an apartment or something by myself, but it's nice having somebody and another adult in the home that you can talk to when the kids go to bed and stuff like that. So,
well, hopefully you get along with each other. Cause I could only imagine, it's not like you can go back to your house or something. You're going back upstairs.
I look at it like a roommate situation, right?
True.
So it's like a roommate on steroids.
Is that what we call it? Roommate?
We call it roommates. Yes.
The co-housing.
The younger generation calls it co-housing. And so, but I guess it's a little bit different because this co-housing situation will often come with kids, but not always. Sometimes just co-housing two adults, which we call roommates. Why do they keep changing all these
rules? I don't know.
We just talked about situationships just a little bit ago, and we were trying to describe situationships, and it's like, this sounds like friends with benefits. Why are they changing it from friends
exactly.
with benefits to situationship? And it's like, because the younger generation is like, we don't like friends with benefits. That sounds dirty. So we're going to call it a situationship. I don't know why I'm using like a deep voice for kids.
I was trying to figure it out, but I was going to let you go.
We don't like the way we call it children with benefits. We want to call it situationships.
Yeah. Isn't that how younger kids talk?
Yeah, basically.
I tried to figure it out. Let's get traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly, but we're still seeing some delays both northbound and southbound on the Garson Point Bridge due to construction there. So just take an alternate route if you can. If not, pack in about an extra 20 minutes into your commute. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's a text says co-housing sounds like it would result in co-sexing. co-housing leads to situationships is what it sounds like.
Right. That's exactly it.
There we go. And the tie-in is complete. 1980, my girlfriend, three siblings, her mother, all co-housed another lady and her two kids, Cordova Park. Two broads dumped by their wealthy husbands. Did you say broads?
He did. That's awesome.
Okie dokie. Yeah, so there's that. You know, under that description, though, that reminds me back in like the 1800s when you'd get like the single mom with the kids and she would rent rooms out. Well, I don't remember what they called that. You remember what they was like a term for it.
I can't remember.
Room for rent? I don't know. There was something else, though. Co-housing has been done a long time. Families have done it, especially legal immigrants. Two or more families buy a house and live together. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Exactly.
It's been an immigrant thing for families. A long, long time. Or poorer families, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the reason why it's becoming news is because it's starting to reach what was typically middle-class families. Like, they're having to do it now. Just finances are getting so tight and so tough. So,
I mean, rent has shot up. I mean, even in our situation, we're like, wow, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's getting crazy. Social media ban for minors.
Boarding house.
Boarding house. Thank you very much for the text. I knew there was something like that. I was like, I can't think of it. Yeah, so boarding house. That sounds like a kind of a co-housing type of scenario.
It does.
So it's been going on since the 1800s at least. So, all right, there's that too. There was a... there's a bill that passed the Florida legislature that will ban minors from being able to be on social media. And it goes into effect January 1st. So got a couple of things about that here for you real quick. First of all, you're listening to Pensacola Right Now Pensacola Morning News. Pensacola Right Now is in the afternoon. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. He's out today. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for him on News Radio 92.3. So there is this bill. If you're under the age of 14, and social media can detect that you are under the age of 14, it will close your account. If you have a child under the age of 14 and you're like, I want social media to close my kid's account, you can contact social media and go, my kid's only 13 or 12 or 11 or whatever, and they'll close the account for them. You could be a parent or a guardian. It doesn't have to be a parent only. If your kid is between the age of 14 and 15 and you're okay with them having an account, they can have one with a parent or guardian permission. And then over the age of 15, yes, they can open an account all they want. That's the bill. There are some legal challenges to it right now, but it does look like it's going to go into effect January 1st. I personally like this bill. There's bills like it in Tennessee, Utah, I believe Virginia. There's been other states who have tried to pass similar bills, and I've liked the idea. Mainly because there's a lot of studies that shows that social media is not necessarily mentally healthy for kids, for children.
Mm-hmm.
And so the longer you kind of push that off, the better. And I'm in a situation, divorced parent, you know, sharing custody, co-parenting, and a situation where my younger child wanted to be on social media, and I'm like, no. And next thing I know, she has social media. How did that happen? Mom let me have it. Okay. So actually had this little conversation when this bill is getting passed with my ex, like, hey, so, you know, she's, you know, too young, da da da. And her response was, oh, good. So in other words, she likes the bill too.
Right.
Then why would you let your kid have social media and you don't want her to be on social media? I couldn't say no to her. But now I can just go, the government won't let you have one.
Exactly.
So even parents who are enablers are liking this bill because it allows them to shift the blame.
Exactly. You know? But let me bring out another point. My son, I was talking to him about it. He said, I'll just use a VPN on my phone.
Oh, great. All right.
And I was like, yeah.
So if you're not familiar with a VPN, virtual protocol network.
Yeah.
Nobody's in it. It's basically a secure connection where they can't track where your phone is from and who where you're at and stuff like this. So it's a secure connection.
And you could be from anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You could be from anywhere. And you can actually, Apple now has a button. You just switch and go, I'm going to use a VPN now.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you have to pay for a VPN. But they're becoming more and more affordable all the time anyway. But that's funny because your son's like, I'll just use a VPN.
Right.
And
so how many other kids?
Exactly. How many other kids are like, are thinking I'll just that, use a VPN then as I get on there? Because here's the funny thing about VPNs. 95% of adults don't know what a VPN is.
Exactly.
But I bet 90% of kids know over the age of 12 know what a VPN is. Like, I'll just use a VPN. Mm-hmm. And so the parents don't even know that they're using a VPN to get around it. And in order to do this, but that shows once again, like this younger generation, like how smart they are. I use a lot of AI with a lot of different things that I do. Usually use it as a initial draft. Like AI is not the end all. It's just kind of like that starts me off and then I can, you know, fix it from there. But I have been shocked at how much kids use AI. Like it is their go-to now.
It is.
Like we used to be like, oh, just Google it. Kids are just, they just go to AI. I just use AI and find out what it says. Hey, Mr. AI, what about this, this, this? I actually had a conversation the other day with a bunch of teenagers in my house, and we were talking about something, and they challenged me on it. And I'm like, first of all, I'm the smartest person you've ever met, so just chill out, okay? I know the most useless things. That
I know that.
Yes, you do know that. And so I'm like, you're talking to the encyclopedia here, and they're like, whatever. And they pull up their AI. They all pulled out their phones at the same time. We're immediately like, AI, is this? Da, da, da? And I'm like, and then coming out, they're like, oh, you're right. I'm like, wait. Like, you little punk. And so, but I was amazed. Like, five kids all bust out their phones with AI immediately to start fact checking me.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, well, geez, you know, no more of that stuff. You know how you used to do with the kids? Sometimes you just tell them something that might be a lie because you just want them to like believe you and just go along with it.
Right.
Whatever.
And just move on. Yeah.
No more of that now. They ruined that with the AI. So yeah, they got the AI down. They love the AI. They're good at doing that. By the way, another news story related to AI. So I'm bringing it back to the news. Let me put on my news voice here. ChatGPT has recently been found to more accurately diagnose health illnesses than doctors. What? That's the news story that came out last night.
Really?
Yeah. They actually did a study. ChatGPT, which is one of the AIs out there, artificial intelligences, it actually more accurately diagnosed health illnesses based on symptoms given than what doctors did. I don't know how they did the study. I didn't dig that deep. I just saw the headline essentially and was like, oh, geez.
That's crazy.
It made me laugh because the joke for the longest time, like I'll talk to my doctor and I'm like, I think I have Crohn's disease. And he's like, you know, stop watching TV. And I'm like, no.
WebMD or
Cook. It's like, I didn't watch it. I said, I went to Dr. Google and Dr. Google told me I got Crohn's disease. And he's like, please stop talking to Dr. Google. So instead of talking to Dr. Google, I'm going to start talking to Dr. AI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just going to Dr. Artificial intelligence medicine woman. So, again,
that's a new business venture.
Exactly. I start charging people. Patients.
Right?
Just charge. Look, I'm cheaper than your doctor, all right? $25. Just call me up. Tell me your symptoms. I'll give you the results. Yeah. I'm just going to AI. They have this and this and this. What is it? No, don't do that. That's called scam. That's illegal. Don't do that stuff. What about teacher reporting accounts? Oh, no. Yeah. This is talking about minors having social media.
Okay.
That's a good idea, though.
It is.
That might need to be an amendment to the bill because teachers sometimes know more than the parents about what their kids are doing.
Right.
And so if a teacher's got a 10, 12-year-old kid in their class and they're on social media all the time, they could report it. That might be a good amendment. I don't know. That's usurping.
But then they're
going to
use their watch. I mean, there's so many other ways around it. But in Santa Rosa County, I know at Milton High School, they have to, the beginning of the class, they go and put their phones in the back. And that's how the teacher takes attendance.
Yeah.
So they have no access to it.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Till the end of class. But in the hallways, that's a totally different story.
That's true. Totally different story.
Mm-hmm.
But they still would know more. Maybe Yeah, I guess they could try to reach out to the parents. Hey, just so you know, your kid has social media. And the parents are like, how dare you get involved with my kid? You know, it's like, okay, you're done with that whole issue. I know more teachers have quit their jobs in the past 10 years because they're tired of the parents than they were tired of the teaching part.
And I can completely understand that. Yeah. I'm not guilty or anything, but I could completely understand it.
What do we got going on with traffic?
No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10 flowing smoothly through that construction zone. I-110 looking good. Still seeing some delays on the Garcon Point Bridge. About a 10 to 15 minute delay as they do construction. So I would advise another route or build in some extra time into your commute. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Let's go ahead and get a quick break. We'll come back here and talk for like 15 seconds, and then we'll go to another commercial break.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
This is Chris Bryan, host of Pensacola Right Now, wishing you a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Funky. Heard about the party now, just east of Harlem. Dougie gonna be there, but you got to.
It's been like a dance party in here all day today.
Well, I know. Well, you're in here.
Yeah. Party time.
I know you're doing the Carlton dance and everything. I'm like, wow, this is entertaining.
These are things people cannot see. This is why it's radio. These are secrets, okay? I'm in here doing the Carlton dance in the studio all the time. All right, so I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay. He's out with a bad voice today. You're listening to Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3. This weekend is the Army-Navy game, and the drip, the uniforms.
Oh, I like it.
Ooh, they're looking sharp.
They are.
The Army's coming with an all-black uniform with some white highlights. Like, the helmet is a matte black with a white clover on the side. It looks so freaking good. The Navy one, all white with some navy blue stripes on the sides, and all white helmet with the Jolly Roger flag on the side.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's so good. Both of these are
They always have the best uniforms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're, like when they have the Blue Angel uniforms and stuff.
Oh, I love those.
It looks so good. But these ones look really good, too. And both of these uniforms are an homage to World War II. So the Jolly Roger one is to the Jolly Rogers Navy Squadron, the most deadly Navy fighter fighter squadron. And then the Army one is pertaining to the 101st Airborne Division at the Battle of the Bulge. Wow. And so pretty cool, both of them right there. All right, it is Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McCann, Bobby Rossi.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Red orbs over San Diego. Nightly reports of drone swarms spreading from New Jersey, now including the Marines' Camp Pendleton in Connecticut, where Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal joins the call, shoot them down if necessary.
We should be doing some very urgent intelligence analysis and take them out of the skies, especially if they're flying over airports or military bases.
Secretary of State Blinken on a surprise visit to Iraq for talks on the future of post-Assad Syria. Texas prosecutors in Houston will seek the death penalty for the two Venezuelan migrants charged with murdering 12-year-old Joycelyn Nungery. An inspector general report reveals the FBI did indeed have assets at the Capitol riot. No agents, but about two dozen confidential human sources who were not prosecuted. America's listening to Fox News.
Roughly 30 Alberta high school students in the peer.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got sunshine. It's 44 degrees in Pensacola. Well, discussions on the OLF 8 property will continue into next year. After three presentations yesterday from potential developers and hours of discussion, no decision was made at last night's Escambia County Commission meeting that lasted until almost midnight. District 3 Commissioner Lou May brought up the idea of hiring a specialist to handle negotiations with the potential developers.
And you define that and you go, what are the contract terms? That's what you do. And if we don't have someone on staff to negotiate that, then we hire a development consultant very quickly to make sure that we are maximizing what's best for the citizens of Escambia County. You know, we're not going to be able to negotiate with Chad or Fred or any of them. That's not our expertise. But what we do is define the parameters.
And May is pushing for the development to include attainable housing. He also wants the highest possible purchase price, so some of the money goes back into other districts. Commissioner Stephen Barry was in favor of choosing Tri-W Associates last night. District 2 Commissioner Steven Stroberger wanted to choose Beulah Town Center LLC. The commissioners do want to sell the entire property, however, still want 270 acres guaranteed to be used for the public and job development. The details of the sale had County Attorney Allison Rogers confused. She said there were too many ideas discussed and negotiating with any of the developers would be impossible. The discussion will continue January 9th at the next commission meeting. A second arrest made in relation to the triple homicide on West Jackson Street back in April. 29-year-old Delarian Black Jr. was booked into the Escambia jail yesterday on three charges of first-degree premeditated murder. Reports show that Black Jr. was indicted by the state attorney's office in September on those charges. Another suspect, 23-year-old Torrance Sumler, was arrested earlier this year. The suspects are accused of gunning down three victims in a car in the Jackson Square parking lot. It is 8:33, News Radio 92.3. U.S. News and World Report announced the 2025 Best Hospitals for Maternity Care ratings. The rankings rated hospitals around the country. Over 400 hospitals ended up receiving that designation. Local hospitals recognized included Ascension Sacred Heart and Pensacola and Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast in Miramar Beach. The ratings were decided after evaluating hospitals using core maternity care data. A Florida woman is in jail after allegedly threatening workers at her health insurance company. 42-year-old Brianna Boston is accused of calling Blue Cross and telling the worker, quote, delay, deny, depose, you people are next, end quote. That's after her insurance claim was denied. The call was recorded and turned over to police in Lakeland, Florida.
We will take this very seriously, and we will put you in jail if you do something like this. It is not a joke.
That's Police Chief Sam Taylor, and he says the FBI contacted his department about that call earlier this week. Boston was in court yesterday. She remains held on $100,000 bond on a charge of threatening a mass shooting or an act of terrorism. 8:35 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about, but we're seeing some delays. If you're on the Garcon Point Bridge going southbound, it seems like the lane is closed there, so it's about a 5-10 minute delay on that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be seeing a nice sunny day today with a high near 62 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52 degrees. For Saturday, sunny skies, high near 68 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Keeping the warming forecast into that Sunday with a high near 70 and a low near 60. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 44 in Pensacola, 41 in Gulf Breeze, and also in Milton. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning. Stocks are up. The Dow is up 110.5 points at 44.24. S&P up 19.5 points. 6,070. The NASDAQ is up 103 points this morning at 20,006. Our 10-year bond rate up slightly, 4.359%. Gold prices today down $30 at $26.7940. Silver prices down 66 cents at $30.95. And looking at the always volatile crypto market, Bitcoin up 627 this morning at $100,569. Ethereum's up, Solana's down, no change in Dogecoin. It's sitting at 41 cents right now. And taking a look at a few of our financial headlines, Elon Musk looking to make the government more efficient, but so far no details have been released. Republicans want him to start with the low-hanging fruit, like the Biden administration's green energy policies.
For example, simply preventing the implementation of President Biden's rule limiting vehicle carbon emissions, effectively an electric vehicle mandate.
Senator John Cornyn of Texas, he says the rollback coupled with the elimination of the electric vehicle tax credit could save $150 billion. President-elect Trump says he wants the American worker to be invested in the economy. He told CNBC Thursday he wants workers to wake up and love to go to work for a lot of money. He made those comments while he was ringing the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange yesterday. That was in celebration of him being declared the Time Person of the Year. And new rules out of Washington taking aim at overdraft fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau moving to close a loophole that they say allowed big banks to rake in big profits from overdrafts. Under the new rule, banks with more than $10 billion in assets would be given three options. They could either cap overdraft fees at $5, set the fees to cover only costs and loss. Or they could treat the fees like loans with disclosure of rates and terms. It's 8:38. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne.
9, we light the Hanukkah candles from left to right.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and as I light my Hanukkah menorah, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah. Also, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. From all of us at News Radio 92.3.
From all of us to all of you, Happy Hanukkah. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip. The hibbit of a hip, hip hobby, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle now.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew today. And yeah, he's got a bad throat. He's out. So and then he's off all next week. So what?
Yeah, I know.
Questionable. Here. So I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for him today. I'll be in on Monday as well. And then got other people coming in all next week. Joining us right now for the wrap is Josh Newby and
Walker Wilson.
Walker Wilson. My goodness. I remember Walker. I was going to call you Walker Walk, and I was like, that's not right.
I'll go with whatever.
Yeah,
it's
you should own that.
Yeah.
Walker Walk.
Walk the Walk.
Just that's walk it. The Walk.
Yeah.
So for the wrap today, there's a lot of topics. Andrew was gracious enough to at least send me a million and a half texts.
He's
this
so generous.
Yeah, so generous. Yeah. So, but these are really good topics. And I think the first one I want to start off with is actually, let's start off with the debacle from last night. 6-hour congressional, or not congressional.
What it felt like.
It would actually been like that. Actually now, that was a Freudian slip. 6 hours to debate the OLF projects. Yeah. Three proposals that came up yesterday, and then I guess it went to midnight.
Yeah, I think it went maybe a little past midnight or something like that.
A little past midnight or something like that. And then the end result is they're going to have another meeting.
Yeah. I'm surprised that because they brought back, Kohler brought back Committee of the Whole, which was a long time coming. I'm surprised that Committee of the Whole didn't, I thought Committee of the Whole was supposed to solve
it,
this problem. Right. You could talk openly about these contentious issues, and then the board meeting would really be more of a formality of a vote. But this OLF 8 thing, good God. Yeah. I mean, drag it on just a little bit longer. Meanwhile, Beulah sprawl is you know, unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we talked about a little bit this morning when we were talking about this property. People are moving here anyway.
Right.
They're moving to that area anyway, and there's not the housing for them. Now there's starting to not be enough commercial retail to handle the populations moving there. And so it's like the more you drag your feet on doing anything, the more problems you're actually having come up.
Right.
What is the main obstacle that's happening right here in your guys' minds?
For me, what I've heard is it's the difference between the master plan, which the Beulah residents sort of in good faith agreed to, and the proposals, that the proposals have been brought forth, one of which is basically saying that they might throw out the master plan. You know, they're not faithful to it. The other, you know, which is a lesser bid, is faithful to the master plan. So it's just so many different competing interests. And I think on the county commission, you also have some long-term egos that have been really invested in this. And they just can't let their pet position go.
Yeah. And I think some of it too, to me, is that I think the understanding for some of the folks that have been there for a while with this was the whole idea was this was going to be creating jobs that site. And I think the residents maybe want to get a little bit more away from doing that. And so how do you balance those interests and then trying to make it a project that you can sell and have these developers that are going to come, you know, buy this for, you know, tens of millions of dollars and still be able on their end to, you know, be whole and make some profit on it. And I think, you know, those two things are really what are button heads and how do they make the right decision to make sure that, you know, they can get across the finish line, which takes, it's been taking quite some time, but it is kind of like, let's make a decision.
I thought the master plan that the residents had, it was an informal vote,
right.
But mm-hmm. they voted on was a mixed use development project where you had commercial, you know, so you had maybe larger buildings,
mm-hmm.
commercial on the downstairs, apartments and stuff upstairs, but then there was residential homes and townhomes surrounding that mixed use development.
Correct.
Part.
Yeah.
That was kind of what the residents there said, this is what we'd like to see here.
Right. And I think that's what makes sense. That sort of turnkey development is important for that area of land that, like you said, is up and coming, that has a big, big employer. They just can't seem to, on the one hand, and this is both the pro and the con of government, right? Mm-hmm. The deliberation, the need for consensus, that's good, that in theory should give us the best possible product. But very often it's the exact opposite.
I had multiple texts this morning in talking about this earlier saying, what do our county commissioners know about multi-million dollar developments?
That's fair.
And why do they have so much say in that aspect of it? Why
is this supposed to represent the voters?
Right.
Or at least one of them is. But, you know, ..
What do you... I mean, Andrew used to do a feature called Future News.
Yeah.
Would you try to predict the future? How's this going to end? How do you think this is going to end with OLF 8? Will it?
I think it probably continues to get, you know, drug out a little bit.
Another year, 2 years, three? Finally just go,
That feels like far off. But I don't know. In my mind, too, but just you know, from a political stance, it's like, go ahead and make your decision now while you all just got reelected.
Right.
Before, when you've got an election further down the road, yeah, right?
That's a good point.
people are quick to forget. So,
yep.
You know, if they're mad at you over the vote you made, you got a couple of years to make it back up to them, I guess.
Who's the one? I'm blanking right now. Who's the long-standing gentleman who's been negotiating with them for years?
Fred Hemmer.
Yes. Yeah. If I had to predict, I hope that he would get the contract.
Just because you've been fighting for so long?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think there's some caveat, too, that now you've got Chad Henderson and Ashton Hayward on a proposal, too. And so there's those personal connections of folks that they've grown up with their entire lives. And then,
as you stated before, there's some pride issues involved with this, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. It's 8:45. Let's get traffic on the fives real quick, and we'll continue with the wrap.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. But again, if you're traveling on the Garcon Point Bridge going southbound, they're having some construction delays there. About an extra 15, 20 minutes, it looks like now, on your commute. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Different development topic here. Red light cameras became kind of big news this past week as we got news that they're going to be installed fairly soon around town. And it's kind of interesting because what we're seeing around Florida, not just around the country, but around Florida, we're seeing red light cameras being uninstalled in communities that have had them.
Right.
And now we're starting to get those. Your guys' thoughts?
I'm against red light cameras, not because I'm against enforcement or not because I'm some, you know, libertarian, but I think the far better investment would be, and I'm blanking on the name, but sensors. Red light sensors. If I'm turning south from Fairfield onto I-110, I will sit at that red light for 4 minutes. And I'll be honest with you, I run that red light probably every single day.
Oh, really?
Because there are such long lapses in traffic. It's so easy, but for some reason, there's a left red light. If there was a sensor there, that would so easily solve that problem.
Yeah. That is definitely... I'm going to go with you on that. Sensors make a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reason people run red lights.
Yeah. I don't know. I red light cameras, I don't know. I'm just like, you run it, you get a ticket. I mean, that's on you a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you don't pay for parking and you get a parking ticket. Well,
right.
You know, and that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to also say the Downtown Improvement Board does not give out parking tickets anymore.
Right,
it has not for several years.
Well, in fact, I do want to hit on that just in a little bit. But first, going back to what you're saying, so there are the situations where there's not a sensor and you sit there at the light.
Right.
I mean, look, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
4 o'clock in the morning when I come here to the radio station, I'm sitting here over on Davis and there's no traffic for miles and miles. I'm like, I'm taking this light.
Right.
I'm not sitting here because there's no sensor on it. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody around. The concern is, though, we do have quite a few cars that just burn through a red light.
Yeah.
Like, they're not stopping.
To me,
there's no cars coming through.
To
they're
me,
burning through
red lights. It's a question of philosophy of government. You have two different schools of thought. Do I improve enforcement of a bad policy, or do I improve the policy?
Yeah.
To me, the policy improvement would be the sensors. The enforcement of crappy lights is red light cameras.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I like that. The other enforcement would be during certain hours. I've seen this in other communities. During certain hours, the red light turns into a flashing red light.
Sure. Yeah, perfect.
Instead of, hey, we don't have the money to put sensors in, but we can change change it to a flashing red light from, 7 p.m. to, whatever.
Right.
Depends on the area. Talking to Josh Newby and Walker Wilson here for the wrap on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. All right, let's talk about downtown parking. It changes every 3 months. So what's the latest update with the downtown parking? You're saying no longer giving tickets out.
Oh, no, they're giving tickets out. Just not the downtown improvement board.
Oh, not the downtown improvement
board. So it moved over to the city of Pensacola 2020, which the day I started at DIB, but all moved over to the city of Pensacola. And I think, the mayor has really taken this on the chin, and I think he knew he was when he was going to kind of redo everything. But, we've got more paid parking areas than we used to have downtown. But he's done a good job. They've rolled out this Park Pensacola website, which will tell you where there's free parking downtown that you can go park at. They're now running a trolley on the weekends so that you can park at one of these parking lots for free and hop on the trolley and get into downtown. At the end of the day, it's a buck an hour. And, you just got to make sure you pay it and stay on top of it. The app is super easy. They switched over to kind of the most used
app. I'm going to complain about the app.
And, it's good.
I got a ticket Halloween night because the app just kept resetting on me.
Right.
I kept trying to, it kept resetting, resetting, resetting. I was like, forget it. I couldn't go to my thing. Go to my thing, I come out, parking ticket. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but you can repeal annoying.
So I tried to appeal it. So I was trying to fight it. And then they were like, it's going to be this date at this time. I was like, well, I can't make it on that time. They're like, well, then you're going to lose. Yeah. And I'm like, dadgum it. So then at that point, it's just worth paying the $25 and just being like, whatever. But
and a new thing they just put in this past week is right there next to the Jefferson Street garage on Jefferson and Garden. There's the garage itself, and then there's a surface lot kind of right there on the backside of Fosco Coffee Shop and Vinyl. Mm-hmm. They've made all of those spots that are on the surface area inside the garage or next to the garage 30-minute pickup parking. So you just pull up if you're going to grab a coffee at Fosco or you're getting some food to go or going to drop some jewelry off at one of the jewelry stores right there. You can just park your car and go run in and do that and get out and not have to fool with the app, which I think is going to be helpful for some folks too.
Do you know this, Walker? Do most employers down there validate for their staff? How does that work?
Yeah.
They've actually got on the third floor of the Jefferson Street garage is free during the day. Okay. So a lot of the employees will park up there, which is good because it, you know, allows the customers to park on the bottom two floors.
Right.
But some of them do and some of them don't.
Okay.
I think this, you know, now having to pay till midnight has hurt some of these bartenders, right? Yeah. And service industry folks who would try and time their schedule out, you know, go park somewhere in a 2-hour free spot right before it stopped paying, right? Go park at 5 o'clock and I get to park all night for free.
I've played that game before. Sure.
And, but so now they're having to pay, you know, a couple bucks to pay to park on their shift, or they go, you know, you got to park a couple blocks away for free, however they want to do it. But again, the city to me, I think, takes a lot of the heat for also the private lots, the red signs.
Yes.
It's more expensive.
Yes.
They're the ones that put the boots on the car because that's the only way they have to recoup their money, right?
Right?
It's the only thing they can do. So park with the city is my advice.
Yeah.
Controversial opinions here on parking. I think that there should be a parking garage somewhere erected for employees of downtown, right? Mm-hmm. Where if they work, they have a parking pass. Mm-hmm. You see that in bigger cities.
You do.
And genuinely, I think that all city managed parking downtown should be like $5 an hour, $7.50 an hour, something ridiculously expensive. You get a high turnover and then invest that
public
capital into public transportation.
Yeah. Some sort of shuttle system.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you see. Pensacola is so clearly trying to be, I won't say St. Augustine, Savannah or Nashville, and that's what those cities do. But I understand the mayor has expended a lot of political capital on a lot of unpopular things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that's a couple of years down the road, but that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say, you know, that seems like an unpopular thing because a lot of people are, you know, push back on that. But Pensacola, I was thinking about this just the other night, actually last night, because I don't drive during drive time. For years I was on the air during afternoon drive, and so I didn't have any. The past year I haven't been, but I'm like, I'm not driving when people are out, right?
Right.
Last night I had to go cover the new neonatal ambulances at Sacred Heart. When it got done, it's 4:30. I'm like, crap, it's drive time.
Yep.
And it took me 45 minutes to get from Children's Hospital to here to the station.
Wow.
45 minutes.
That's wild.
And I was just like, this is insane. Yeah. Now, granted, it is holiday traffic. I do understand that part too, but it's not just holiday traffic. And it got me thinking last night when I was laying in bed, why am I thinking about economic development? but I was thinking, we almost need to start widening our roads now to deal with the traffic that has moved, not the traffic, the population that has moved to Pensacola.
We just finished Davis. What was that, 2 years ago? We finally finished Davis.
Finally just did. But Davis, Airport, Brent, all that needs to be widened to be able to handle another lane of traffic at least, is what I started thinking. And then I was like, or we're going to have to change other things. Well, then downtown is obviously an even greater problem.
Does widening work, though? I mean, you see, obviously, Los Angeles is a whole nother beast. We're nowhere on the scale of that. But, you know, the 405 went to 6 lanes, 7 right. lanes, 10 lanes. If we just add another lane, that'll help. Tightly knit community, isn't public transportation the better
way? Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So why public transportation may be controversial and people may not like it, but when the alternative is, let's just widen the roads, and then if people just keep moving here and moving here, what you get is what happens in LA. LA, to me, is a perfect example of what is what you don't do.
Right. Urban sprawl.
Yeah. Urban sprawl
connected by
ridiculous.
Interstates or highways. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's, I mean, when you cross the mountains and you're like, oh, we're in LA. Like, no, that's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And it's nonstop houses and businesses for 2 hours straight of driving. You're like, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't good. And that's what happens to communities that don't plan and don't have some sort of plan.
Right.
And so you can either build out or you build up.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, same thing with transportation. You can either widen roads and keep widening roads, or you can come up with some sort of public transportation system that works.
Right.
And so, yeah, I totally agree with that. Another development, housing or development project, not necessarily economic development, maybe a little bit, pallet homes being proposed for Pensacola for the homeless.
Yeah.
Let me get your guys' thoughts on this.
Well, let's do traffic first.
We got to do traffic
now.
Yeah, real quick.
Is there anybody even driving still?
Not after we just excoriated them.
Yeah, exactly. Get off the roads. What do you think you're doing? All right, go ahead.
No accidents to let you know about, nor delays. You're rolling good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All righty then. All right, pallet homes.
I think we need to think outside of the box, pun intended there, about housing. We need more progressive housing options. We need loosened zoning. I've been inside of a pallet home. They're easy and cheap to construct. They're surprisingly resilient.
Wait, explain,
to adverse
explain pallet
weather.
Homes for those that may
I mean, it's,
not have heard earlier Andrew talking about it.
It's literally what it sounds like. You take, like, pallets that you would find at like Home Depot or Lowe's, and you construct a house out of them. You take, I don't think it's a tarp, it's some sort of weather resistant fabric material that you put around the pallets. And yeah, you have an igloo type of residence that helps in a pinch in a short term housing crisis, you know,
so
6 months.
A little bit more stable than a tent.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's certainly an option, and pallets are pretty cheap for what you're getting. And very easy to come by, right?
Right.
So, again, who's going to be responsible for maintaining the, you know, the pallet suburb neighborhood of,
sure.
of the homeless?
Sure. You're
and
right.
who's, you know, and whose responsibility is that, right? And I think these laws that are come down from the states that are really forcing counties and cities hands on not allowing folks to sleep in public places is really going to change the aspect of how we deal with homeless and really forcing, you know, counties and cities to deal with the issue themselves
and take on
the responsibility.
The two issues I see, and I've seen other communities have done like tiny home type of thing. They've built little tiny home villages that are meant to be temporary locations while you're getting somebody free mental health services, free addiction recovery services, and things like this. And then hopefully in that 6 month, they're able to find a job. But at least they got some sort of stable home environment to go to that they can call their own and things like that. And so we've seen these things. But the challenge is, one is the bill is paying for those types of things. Two is maintenance of those types of things, because a lot of times they're not being maintained.
Yeah.
And the third one, which is almost a bigger one, is where do you put it where the citizens are happy, are okay with it? Because that's what you run into that everywhere.
Nowhere.
Like, I don't want the
that's,
tiny, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's the biggest issue is the regulatory environment. Because Jim Reeves did a tiny home village for kids aging out of foster home. He had to annex that. And, you know, thank God Jim Reeves has the political power he does. He had to annex that into the city, right? Because the county doesn't have a tiny home ordinance. We dealt with this. We got an ARP grant for two tiny homes that we wanted to place in the county. But we had to deed them as RVs. Instead of his tiny homes.
Gotcha.
So I feel like if the regulatory environment were more progressive, I think a lot of the supplies and logistics issues have been solved as well as they can be post-COVID. It's really the county's reluctance to adopt this progressive housing policy.
Last one here, topic real quick is, well, I got about a minute and a half left, is the new National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, has in there that they want a review of the effectiveness of air shows on military readiness and military recruitment. Basically, it's going, is this worth the money that we're doing for these things? So, of course, that affects our Blue Angels. So, 30 seconds here. What do you think?
Terrible idea, Walker.
Terrible idea. Come to Pensacola in July and you'll see if it's effective or not.
There you go. Perfect.
Hey, I don't know if it's effective for military recruitment or for military readiness, but I sure like it.
Yeah.
I sure like it.
That's right.
It's sure good for my spirit.
Yeah.
Isn't that worth something?
Patriotism.
Right. All right. That's the wrap for you with Walker Wilson and Josh Newby. I'm Bobby Rossi. Filling in for Andrew. You guys have a great weekend. Bye-bye. Listen up.